All right, let's get to it. Joining us right now, the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. He spends his off days basket weaving. And he joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. You find him on Root Sports, usually nightly discussing the Los Marineros. And he joins us today to calm us down after a disaster of a road trip there in Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Krueger. William, how are you?
I'm good. It's so nice of you to touch upon, you know, my educational background, like, you know, basket weaving and what it means to your career. And I can tell you, it's meant a lot to me.
It's prepared you for your analysis.
To get deeper into that conversation, actually, I'm a Native American family. My wife's Quinault, and she's pretty, you know, deeply rooted in the culture. And she does make baskets. And I mean, we're talking cedar baskets, cedar
mats. Really?
It's an art. It's an art. She beads. She's like pretty creative. So I wouldn't want to be a simpleton and act like basket weaving is some kind of like for dummies, right?
No.
It's not.
Can we get one? I mean, is there any way we could purchase one of these things?
I don't know. She's in high demand. You know, it's New York, Los Angeles, London, Paris. I don't know. I'm kidding. No, I that's a great question. You know what she's, you know, we were just talking about this last night. In Native American world, you're supposed to always bring a gift. And in essence, you're supposed to bring the thing that you love the most. How's that? So if she ever did give you a basket, it'd probably be the nicest basket she has.
I'm in.
So there you go.
More than
you wanted to know.
No, it's wonderful. We learn something new every day. I mean, how about that? Who knew?
I mean, you just pulled basket weaving out of thin air.
Yeah.
Well, you guys did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
How about that? See, this is, you know, this is why we don't prepare for these things.
It's better than talking about the Mariners, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we could probably talk about this for 20 minutes. All right. Let's start first. We'll get to Brian Wu. Let's start first with Bryce Miller. Is there anything that you've seen in the last two games? Is this just a bump? This happens young pitchers. He'll be fine. Or is there anything maybe in the last two starts you've seen that could be a concern moving forward?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think there's a rite of passage in the big leagues. You're not going to snuff the league. And, you know, he's been brought back to earth a little bit by two pretty good teams. I mean, definitely Texas is an elite hitting team, and the Yankees have a presence. And basically what he's been able to do is he's just been beating people with fastballs above the zone. But he's not a one-trick guy. But in order to get to that next step in pitching, because pitching used to be a game of in and out and a game of cat and mouse. But because the top of the strike zone is so big, baseball knows that if you can attack the top of the strike zone, you've got a real chance to be successful. And he certainly has that talent. But when you can't win right away at the top of the strike zone, you have to be able to do more than that. And that's where the art of pitching comes in. You face these teams where you have to be able to pitch in and out a little bit. And I think trapped in between trying to go above the zone and then trying to pitch down below with other pitches. You know, there's just another class. You go to the 200, 300, the 400 class, you know. So to my point, he's going to be fine. You can't rattle him. He knows that he's got to improve. He's very confident. And so I think a little bit of, you know, understanding, getting experience, and not having to face the Rangers every time, he'll be fine.
Bill, Jason mentioned Brian Wu. He had his major league debut Saturday. Did not go well. Is that just first game jitters with him? So successful down in Arkansas. But, boy, that was a tough spot facing that lineup in his first game.
25 starts in 100 innings, that's not enough. I'm sorry. It's just not enough. You just can't make that big stage move based upon that kind of backdrop. Plus, there was a Tommy John mixed in there and some COVID loss of time, etc. You know, we're just dipping into the trough and saying, hey, here's a guy that you know, says he's got the stuff, right? But the stuff is just not enough to win. You've got to be able to have a breaking ball that you can use, that you can pitch, you know, into the lineup with and be able to be successful with. He's got to have a changeup. We didn't see it. He's pitching, you know, trying to attack people with fastballs at the top of the zone, and that's plan A and plan B. And so that's just not enough. he just wasn't ready. And whether he can make those kinds of improvements in the next short period of time, I mean, I think facing a lesser lineup, but then again, I guess he's pitching what against the Anaheim Angels. They won't be easy. So, I think when you look at the numbers, hey, look, he throws 96. Hey, he's all these things. He's got nice numbers at AA. It's just not polished enough. It's just not. And to me, they think that's the better answer than Chris Flexen. And granted, you could say, well, Flexen's terrible. But yeah, but he's being used wrong. He had a couple sideways starts. Have you looked at the balance of his work over the past 2 years? It's pretty good. But they don't want to see him anymore. And what happened to Tommy Malone, who whirled for five innings and then evaporated, right? I mean, that's a nice fit for a short period of time. But we don't know how – we still haven't gotten information on Marco Gonzalez. It's concerning that we haven't heard anything up to this point, right? So I just my opinion is nice arm, needs polish on his breaking ball, needs a changeup, and can he do that in 4 days? Well, we'll see. Maybe he can. I don't know.
I want to go back to, because there's a lot there. I do want to go back to the Malone thing, because I think when they did make the announcement, when I saw on Twitter, and then, hey, there's Brian Wu, I'm like, God, it's a heck of a debut to make against that team. And maybe there's never a perfect time to make a debut. I mean, George Kirby, I think, debuted against the Rays. I think Gilbert was against the Guardians when he made his debut. Miller this year was against Detroit. But you're going against the hottest team in baseball offensively, and that's just a tough thing to swallow. So I want to get to... Because I think there was a thought of why not just go Tommy Malone there and to see what he can bring to the table. Go back to Chris Flexen. You say they're using him wrong. Do you think he should be a starter, or how should they use him?
Well, I mean, you look at the numbers over 30 starts, an ERA in the high threes and a very high winning percentage. And granted, he's not flashy. He doesn't throw 95. He doesn't swing and miss you to death. He just pitches. And yes, did he have a real sideways game where he gave up like 8 runs? Yeah. And guess what? In the first year when he went 13 wins and 3-3-6 or whatever it was, he had one of those games as well against the Padres. He gave up 8 or 10. And then he just whirled the rest of the season. But he did have another turn after that where he didn't pitch as well. To me, he's been he's tried to do some things to make himself better. And I think I don't like his breaking ball. They think this adage of the sweeper, I think it's the super trendy pitch that doesn't make any sense, because it's a pitch that goes on the same plane as the bat. Brash is throwing it. It's ridiculously not what he should be doing, and it looks like Flexen's trying to get a little bit more a flatter, harder breaking ball, and it's staying on the same plane as the bat.
Hey, do you like sweeper or slider? Let's stop here. Sweeper or slider? Isn't it just a slider?
Well, it's a new pitch. It's called the sweeper. It's in between a slider and a curve, and it breaks bigger, and it goes across the zone. But what that does, it stays on the same plane as the bat. Now, if you're a sidearm guy or a trickster guy that comes out of the bullpen like a Seawald, and he's throwing from an angle, and he's only seeing three hitters like Jeff Nelson or Seawald, that's fine. But for starting pitchers, no. You want the ball to go down. You want the breaking ball to go shorter and down so you can control it, and it comes off the plane of the bat. Brash needs to learn it. He's got to adjust. We can't just keep saying, oh, well, look at that, another ball in play. He's so unlucky. He's so unlucky.
Yeah, I did hear that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I've heard that excuse for him.
The BABIP.
That he's been unlucky. And I'm just like, wait a minute. That's the most foolish thing. I agree. That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. The idea is for the hitter to put it in play. It's not unlucky that it finds a spot in the field. That's the whole point. See, he's not unlucky. Like I hate that stat. I hate people referencing that he's unlucky. I don't think he's unlucky. A pitcher is trying to get the guy out. I mean, you're trying to strike him out or get him to pop up or weakly ground out. Not balls hit hard off him and they find holes in the defense. That's not the strategy. That's not unlucky.
And I think it's a result of erratic fastball command. Yeah, he throws 100, and when he lands it, he's going to be tough. But the breaking ball is so big that he can't get landed in the strike zone. And then when he does, if it's not perfect, it's on the bat. It's not. It's like video game breaking ball. I have to try to explain to you that most pitchers are taller, and you're standing on a mound, right? So you're even higher. So the idea is to create downward plane on the bat. Think about the bat going east-west and the ball going north-south. Do you want the ball to go east-west? No, because it stays on the bat. That's why breaking balls go down, not across. Okay? So he needs to make it go down. Shorter and go down and command his fastball better, and he would be uber elite. He should be a starter. They should be making him into a starter to be unbelievable and let him polish his act, but that's not what's going on here. But as far as flexing is concerned, yeah, I mean, I think he's fallen out of favor. I think he has real value, but he's not pitching well. I think it's hard for him to pitch out of the bullpen. That's not the way he's designed, and they're not going there anymore. And, of course, he just pitched the other day against Texas and didn't do well again in a mop-up role. I don't know what to say. I think he's a good pitcher. He clearly can't go that far into that number of starts and do that well if you're not pretty good. So, but for me, Brian Wu's not ready. Brian Wu needs to pitch more, from what I can see, in the minor leagues.
Bill, you pitched in the major leagues, and you probably pitched on some teams that had feeble offenses. I'm just wondering, from a pitcher's mm-hmm. perspective, do you go out there thinking, man, I got to just be perfect tonight? I got to be have everything fine-tuned, hit the corners, hit the black, hit the edges. How does it affect the pitcher when the offense is as lame as the Mariners is?
Well, I think pitching and hitting are independent from one another. I think they make too much of this, like, I mean, when I pitched, I thought there was equal pressure whether I was down four or up four. I mean, it was the pressure of performance. It was pressure of carrying the game and doing my job and getting outs and trying to pitch deep in the game. And to me, the offense was – I didn't pitch around that. It was independent for me. I mean, I rooted for the offense to do well, but it didn't really affect me, okay? I just had to focus deeply on what I was trying to do to help the team, okay? When we step away from it and watch our offense has, you know, without – if you're going to swing and miss, you better slug. And we swing and miss a lot, and we don't slug enough. So that's a problem. When you look at the Rangers are the top of the league in most offensive categories, them and the Rays. But the Rangers are like ninth in homers or tenth. And that ball is going pretty good in their park. So they're hitting doubles. And that's just, you know, if you're asking me my philosophy of hitting, it's not striking out, hitting doubles, put the ball in play, pitch and catch. That's my baseball game. My baseball game is not swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, homer. That's not my game in my philosophy about baseball. But, and we have four of the top five or six in the league in strikeouts.
The top four.
Top. We have like four of the five or something.
Yeah.
It's early. It's good. We can keep saying that. But we have a lot of swing and miss in our lineup, and we're a little light from the left side, and we're a little short. We need some help.
Can we introduce you to our motto though? It really, Jim came up with it. You want to hear it? Okay. Here's our motto. This is Jim's motto. It's early,
but it could get worse.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think this team has built some belief. I mean, 2 years of winning 90 games, it's just that we know the game we play, we being the Mariners. It's a battle of attrition. It's deep pitching. It's starting pitching, and then it's an array of elite relievers that just we have more relievers than you do. And eventually we find the reliever that we can score on. And that's been the way we've won. We've won a ton of one-run games. We've won a ton of games that way. And we haven't so far this year, but that doesn't mean that we won't. And it hurts to lose Robbie Ray. That hurts. And getting Munoz back is big. That's good. That gives us another big player in the attrition game. Getting nicked away at our starting rotation, that hurts because that's the game the Mariners win with. Okay. Can they hit better? Yes. Will they hit better? I think so. But I think they need to let the left-handed bat. And I don't know where that's coming from. Just come into the season. You just had to say to yourself, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. Now, the question would be why, right? Why aren't we? Is it because we just couldn't or didn't want to, or because nobody wants to come here and play?
Well, what do you think it is? What do you think it is, Bill? Because I mean, we discuss that all the time, and the first hour of our show today was just about how is this going to get better? And I don't know. I think both of us agreed. I don't think there's anything out there where it gets better that you're going to have to rely on Julio and Kelnick and the guys that you have to be able to turn it around. But going back, I mean, if it continues this way offensively for them, we'll just look back to the offseason and say, well, they failed to address it. But why though? Is it a desire of free agents don't want to come here? Is it a money thing? Is it they really don't want to go pursue? I just find it hard a front office wouldn't want to go out and get better players than Tommy La Stella, Cooper Hummel, A.J. Pollock, and Colton Wong.
Yeah, I mean, I think, these are great questions. I don't know the answer. I think the answer is I don't think that it's wrong for the Mariners that they didn't shop for the Turners and the Bogarts and those guys. I didn't have a problem with that. I like Crawford. I like that. I don't think we needed to go $300 million at the shortstop position. And granted, we gave the Kings ransom to Julio, and we're going to pay off. He's a great player, maybe a lot in a short period of time, but yet he's going to be a really, really great player. And Kelnick has been a pleasant surprise, mm-hmm. more than a surprise. I mean, imagine this team if he's hitting 220 and kind of erratic and, right? So I think, what is it? I mean, J.D. Martinez, let's just take him. I don't know anything about J.D. Martinez. You know, he is an elite DH-type bat that has bat control, that can hit for power, that can hit doubles, that can hit in the count, that provides presence. Mm-hmm. Carlos Santana provided presence, and he hit big when it mattered. And you had to have a game plan for him because he's in the middle of the lineup, and he's taking pitches, and he can hurt you. See that? He hit 200. But he gave the team presence. When you put a young kid in there, he brings no presence. So does J.D. Martinez, he goes 2 for 20, or whatever he went for in L.A., right? Well, then it's like, well, we won't come for 2 for 20. Well, I guess maybe you have to give him 2 for 25, or you got to give him an option, or you got to pay above the line, or whatever it is, right? I don't know. Are they afraid to tell us that because they don't want people to go, well, nobody wants to play in Seattle? I mean, I don't know. I'd like to give them credit for trying to find a better bat than they ended up having, right? And I just want to make sure you understand. This is a good team. I like the team. They pitch and catch. They just hit a really bad spot here in the schedule. They're going to play better. They're going to be an above 500 team easily. But they the premise that they were offensively ready to come in the season, they weren't.
Hey, Bill, just last thing from me. I was curious. Jason Stark wrote a story in The Athletic about the pitch clock contributing to more injuries for pitchers this year because of the sequencing. They don't have as much time to, relax and get it together out there on the mound. Are you buying that? Do you see that as being a thing?
Awful short window to make that kind of a call. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with how we train our pitchers. Hard as you can and try to, blow everybody away for 5 innings and then call it good. I don't know. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I can't see how working a little quicker should get you hurt. I can't imagine that's true. I just can't imagine. I mean, I think it doesn't feel like when I watch the game that they're being rushed. I think the pitch calm, which, all this stuff is you couldn't pull this off without the pitch calm because the pitcher could get ready quickly. I still have time to kind of take a deep breath and pitch. I don't think that I'd have a hard time buying that, to be truthful. I don't think injuries are the result of the pitch clock. I wouldn't think so. So, yeah, that would be my opinion. More data.
Hey, next time you come on, do a better job of not holding back. Okay, a little bit more transparency next time. Okay, please on the Mariners. Thanks.
Hey, listen, I am a fan of the team.
I know you are.
And I do think they are a winning ball club. I think they have great chemistry and great pitching. And this is a soft spot that they're going to return and play much better.
Okay. You heard it. There he is. You're the best. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
You bet. Thank you.